Amen. If you have your Bible with you this evening, the book of Ruth tonight, the book of Ruth, and I am thankful over the last few months we've had the opportunity to study through this book, only four chapters, but what great lessons we've had the opportunity to be able to study and learn, and I trust it's been a blessing to you as well. And so the book of Ruth this evening, and over these past 3 months we've studied the book of Ruth. I believe it's been fascinating. I've certainly enjoyed it, and I trust that you have as well. And I would say this right at the beginning of the lesson this evening, that ultimately the record of this book provides us with a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. And I am so thankful that He left the glories of heaven, amen, and He took upon Himself the form of a man, came in the likeness of man as a servant. He came, He lived a perfect and a sinless life. He paid the price of our redemption with His precious blood. And oh, how thankful we are for the blood of Christ. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose conquering sin, death, and the grave. He lives forevermore. The Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And one day, one glorious day, He's coming back and He'll receive His bride. Amen. And the truth of the local church, the church age, the church is known as the bride of Christ. And you understand that Boaz got his bride, Ruth. And we looked at that as we studied through the fourth chapter. And we as a local church, as the church at the rapture, will be gathered together, and of course the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think about the uniqueness of the church, and I'm thankful this evening that the church consists of both of all the redeemed, both Jew and Gentile. And Paul talks about this being a mystery, and he speaks about it in the epistles. And I'm so thankful that the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles, those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you know Ruth, she was from Moab, and what a blessing to see how God would use her even in the line of Messiah. And to God be the glory, and He is the Redeemer of all mankind. All who would come to faith, to Christ through faith would be saved. And so we thank the Lord for that. Along the way of our study, we discovered several life lessons, and this evening I hope that we can get through this. I've just titled the message this evening, Lessons from Ruth, and really it's just going to be a final takeaway from the book of Ruth. Ten thoughts from the book of Ruth of life lessons. Again, ultimately, the great picture of the book of Ruth is redemption, but there are life lessons that God gives us through this book, and I hope tonight that we can look at each of these and that we can be challenged as we would seek to incorporate these truths into our lives. I spent time as we went through the study of the book of dealing with these at various times, but tonight I thought it would be appropriate that we'd review them in one setting and seek to apply these things in our lives. Look in Ruth chapter number 1, the first lesson this evening that we learn from the book of Ruth is this. Number one, refuse to flee in time of difficulty. Refuse to flee in time of difficulty. You know, there are a lot of people that quit when things get hard. A lot of people that throw in the towel, they give up, they flee when things get challenging. The Bible begins in Ruth 1 in verse number 1, and it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled," notice that there was a famine in the land. This is the difficulty. This is the time of difficulty. And the Bible says that there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, and he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And we find, of course, God would ultimately use this in bringing Ruth into the picture and what have you. But the reality is that during that time in which they were there in Moab, Elimelech died, and the boys died. And Ruth, Naomi, as she comes back, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara." And she said, "I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty." And so what's a life lesson that we learn here in the beginning of this book is that we should refuse to flee in times of difficulty. See, she got to hear how the Lord had visited the people of God in giving them bread. but she did not experience it personally. She simply heard what God did. I like to experience what God's doing, amen? And what a blessing. I enjoy reading about the great events that God has recorded, great miracles in His Word, but those Bible characters, they lived through those particular things and they got to see the hand of God, and we must refuse to flee in time of difficulty. Let me say this, number two, determined to wholly follow the Lord, completely, entirely, all in. And I think about what Ruth says to Naomi, and I know that as we look at these verses, they're familiar verses in Ruth 1, verses 16 and 17, but Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Notice she says, "Thy God, my God, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And I understand that Ruth is speaking to Naomi here, but as we look at this commitment that Ruth is making, I believe tonight that you and I, we ought to be fully committed. We ought to be wholly, completely in to following the Lord Jesus Christ. I will follow where He leads me. The songwriter said, I will follow. And you think about the Lord Jesus Christ calling the disciples and Peter and others. He says, follow me. And the reality is that they were to just take up their cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so are we. You think about the great Bible character Caleb. And he's one of two that had the privilege of being able to enter into the land of promise out of that generation that died. And why was he able to go into the land of promise? Well, because he believed God. And over, the Bible says that he wholly followed the Lord his God. And oh, that God would help us to follow the Lord. Number three, let me say this. People matter. People matter. Learn to love people. People matter. Sometimes we get so busy in life and there's so many things going on. And people can just kind of be in the way if we're not careful. But understand tonight that people matter. Every single person that we come in contact with is going to spend forever somewhere. In heaven or in hell. Amen? Every single person that we come in contact with. And where do I get this thought or this lesson? Well, look at Ruth chapter 2. I believe that Boaz was a very busy man, had much responsibility, had servants and those that worked for him and what have you. But notice in verse number 5, of chapter 2, the Bible says this, "Then said Boaz unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Boaz recognized that was someone gleaning in the field that he had not seen before, that he wasn't familiar with, and he took the time to inquire, and then we find as we continue reading through the second chapter of the book of Ruth, and of course throughout the entirety of the book, he took great interest in this one Ruth. But think about, had he not just taken the time to even inquire? People matter. People matter. It bothers me deeply. I heard somebody say this yesterday at a pastor's meeting, and it bothers me deeply when I hear someone that's in the ministry say, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. If you ever hear somebody say that, it ought to bother you. And here's why it bothers me. There's no ministry if there's no people. It bothers me. Because people matter. People matter. We need to learn to love. To love people. Number four, learn to work hard. The teenagers are here tonight. Learn to work hard. Amen? Listen, we live in a society where it just seems like everyone thinks things should just be given to them. They're entitled and they don't have to work for anything. And mom and dad worked hard and they just kind of hand everything over on a silver spoon, silver platter, so to speak. But we need to learn to work hard. Why do I say that? Well, look here at Ruth chapter 2. Notice in verse number 7, after Boaz had inquired, the Bible says that she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after." This is the servant responding to Boaz and rehearsing the conversation. "Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even, notice what it says, from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. But then skip down to verse number 17. The Bible says, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." And so she was there from the morning until the evening. She was working hard. By the way, I said this, the process of gleaning was a hard task. It was a time in which they had to go and gather, and it took a lot of time. And obviously, we understand that as you go through the second chapter, that Boaz had instructed his servants to leave handfuls of purpose. And what a blessing to even think about that terminology and how he was providing for her through that, which made her job less difficult. But learn to work hard. There's something good about working hard. Amen. And every once in a while, I do a lot of work in the office and various things, but every once in a while, it's good to just go out and do some hard labor and just work hard. And not that working in an office isn't hard work, but you know there's a something about some physical labor and what have you. And we need to have a good work ethic, and we need to work hard. Number five, let me say this, protection and provision are the result of obedience. Protection and provision are the result of obedience. In the text of Scripture in chapter 2, after Boaz finds out who Ruth is, he then has a conversation with her beginning in verse number 8. And he says this conversation, he speaks to her about both protection and provision. Notice what the Bible says. Then said Boaz in verse number 8 of chapter 2 unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence." Notice what he says, "but abide here fast by my maidens." Now, the result of following the instruction that's given in verse number 8, obedience, if you will, is provided to us in verse number 9. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them." Notice what he says, "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." There would be protection and provision for Ruth so long as she followed the instruction that Boaz provided. Ruth could not just go to find some other field somewhere and decide she's just going to do her own thing and follow what she wants to do. And you hear people today, "I'm going to follow my heart." It's a bad idea. The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you hear so many people using that terminology today. And the reality is that the protection and provision was a result of the obedience. If she was abiding in that field, if she was in the place where she was supposed to be, the servants would provide protection and there would be provision. And what a blessing to think about that. I'm thankful for the protection and provision that our God gives us. But you know, it's an important thing that we abide in Him. Important thing that we follow His word and we obey His commands. It's interesting, you'll find in some people's lives where they will be blatantly, even as the nation of Israel would be blatantly in disobedience and rebellion to God, but yet trying to claim promises of God. It's like, hold on a minute, those promises no longer apply to you because you're not obedient, you're not doing what God had instructed you to do. And so we find that here in the second chapter that protection and provision are the result of obedience, and we must learn that in our lives. The truth of the Bible throughout the pages of Scripture, we find over and over and over that obedience leads to blessing. Obedience leads to blessing. We find that principle throughout the Scriptures, and I'm so thankful that we learned that even here in the book of Ruth. Let me say this, number six. And I'm going quickly this evening. I want to get through all of these and just kind of a one last look at the book of Ruth. Number six, details matter. Details matter. We live here in the northern Virginia, greater Washington, D.C. area, and I remember hearing for many years of my life people using a phrase, "it's good enough for government work." And maybe you've heard that, being amidst so many government employees here in the northern part of this Commonwealth, and of course being so close to the nation's capital. But the reality is that, look, details matter. Details matter. God's concerned with us following exactly what He said. It's interesting how often you read throughout His Word about obeying all that He says. And here in Ruth chapter number 3, Naomi gives Ruth some instruction on what to do when she would approach Boaz and all of the details. And again, things that are very customary, the first few verses of the book of, or the third chapter of the book of Ruth, things that would be very customary for that particular time and era. But you find that in verse number 5, that Ruth responds to Naomi, and notice what she says, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." That little word all, it's such a simple word, but it carries so much substance to it. Then it tells us in verse number 6, see, verse number 5 is the intent, right? All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Remember the father that said to the son, go and work, and he said, I'm not going to go. And then he went, but one said, I'm going to go, and never went. Well, here she says, I'm going to do. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That's good. That's a good starting place. But verse number 6 says, and she went down under the floor and did according to, what's it say, all that her mother-in-law bade her. Details matter. No one gave God the requirement to give us a book that has 66 books, 1,189 chapters, and go on and on with all the details of the number of verses and words and so on and so forth throughout the scriptures. No one gave God that requirement, but God gave it to us for our benefit. And it's important that we're obedient to it and that we understand the details. Listen, God's work has to be done God's way, and it's important for us to understand that here, Ruth said, all that thou sayest unto me. I'm not just going to do most of it. I'm not just going to kind of, all right, I got the idea, and I'm going to, no, I'm going to do everything. And then she goes and she does everything. If you read following there in the several verses in verses 7 and 8, you find that she does exactly what Naomi had instructed her to do. Number 7, people are watching you. People are watching you. You know, sometimes we know that people are watching us, right? Sometimes we know that people are watching us. And sometimes when we know that people are watching us, you know what it does? It impacts how we behave. Because we know that we're being watched, right? I was driving on the highway. I was at a pastor's meeting yesterday, and it never fails when you drive on a highway and you're cruising along, it never fails that somebody sees a police officer sitting there and all of a sudden brake lights come on. They can't even drive the speed limit anymore. It's crazy. Why? Because their behavior changes because of the presence of authority. We all see it. We know it. You may be guilty of it. Amen? But listen, people are watching us. When you don't know it, when you're not aware of it, people are watching you. People are watching. Notice what the Bible says here in the third chapter of Ruth in verse number 11. Boaz responds to Ruth and says this, and now my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Notice what he says. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. She had a great testimony. People are watching her. People are watching you. The things that you think no one sees. Do you remember when Moses thought that he was going to do justice and he was going to help out and he took care of the Egyptian? Right? You remember what happened? He looked and he thought no one was looking and he killed the man. Is that right? Is that what happened? That's what happened. But was anyone watching? First of all, God saw it because God records it, right? Interestingly enough, he uses Moses to actually write it down. Think about that for a moment. Amen? But then when there are two children of Israel that are disputing and he comes to try to, what do they reveal? Are you going to kill us like you, right? Is that not what happens? Listen, people are watching you. You can look around and think no one's watching, but somebody's watching. God sees everything. That's impactful. But people are watching you. What testimony? Miss Lorene sang a song just a couple of weeks ago about our lives could be the only message that somebody ever hears, sees, reads. I think it was Annie Flint, I think is who it was, wrote a poem about our lives being a Bible. And how people can maybe only ever read your life, all they're ever going to know. If somebody only had your life to examine, what would they know about Christ? Would they want our Christ? People are watching us. Number 8, moving along. Commit to living life God's way. Make a commitment to live life God's way. See, in Ruth chapter number 3, I believe with all my heart that Boaz desired to fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer. I mean, I believe it was an exciting thing when Ruth was there and found out, she expressed to him what her desire was, that he would fulfill that role. And I think that Boaz wanted to do it. But you know what? Boaz was committed to doing things God's way. Why do I say that? Well, look, if you will, in verse number 12 of Ruth 3, we find that he just said, all that thou requirest, I'll do. In verse number 11, in verse 12, it says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Notice what he says, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. So what did he have to do? Let's not tell him, because this is really what I want to do. No. He says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. You need to make a commitment to do things God's way. Let God be God. Let God work. Sometimes we try to orchestrate things, try to manipulate circumstances. But you know, we need to just make a commitment that we're going to let God be God. We're going to commit to living life God's way. Boaz was familiar with the law, the Old Testament. He was familiar with the process. And though I believe he fully desired to fulfill this role, he said, there's a problem. There is a kinsman nearer than I. And I can do nothing until it's first told to him. Why? Because I'm going to commit to do things God's way. I'm going to commit to do things God's way. By the way, God worked. Boaz presented. The nearer kinsman declined, and Boaz had the opportunity to marry Ruth. Number 9, this is a hard one. Life lesson. At times, you're going to have to wait. At times, you're going to have to wait. You know, we don't like to wait, do we? Seriously. How many of you, when you go to the store, you look for the line that has the fewest number of people? Let me ask it this way. How many, when you go to the store, you look for the line that has the most number of people? None of us. Right? We don't go to Walmart. We're like, oh, look, aisle 14 has 37 people. I think I'm going to go stand in that line. No, we don't do that. Right? Why? Because we don't like to wait. Now you got to check it out yourself, right? At the Walmart. I wonder when they're going to send me a check, because it's like I work for them now, you know? I got to do the work myself. I'm just teasing. But the reality is that, you know, we don't like to wait. Sometimes we got to wait on God. Waiting on God is an important time of development in the lives of His people. Allowing God to be God. Notice in verse 18 of Ruth chapter 3, after Ruth gets home and shares with Naomi what had transpired and relayed to her the message that Boaz had given her, Naomi says to Ruth in verse 18 of chapter 3, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She had to just wait. There was nothing that she could do but wait. But wait. And I understand it's hard to wait on God. But could I tell you this evening that God's timing is always perfect? God's timing is always perfect. He's never late, rarely early. His timing is not always our timing. How many of us could testify that? Man, right? We could testify tonight. His timing is not always our timing. But you know, it's amazing how when we see God work, we see, when we're only looking back, we see, man, God's timing was perfect. Sometimes we have to wait. There are lessons that we learn while we're waiting that we're not going to learn in any other circumstance, in any other situation. Number 10, God is the giver of life. God is the giver of life. Ruth chapter number 4 and verse number 13. We looked at this just last week, but the Bible says this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he had went in unto her, notice the phrase, I have it underlined in my Bible, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. God is the giver of life. I want you to think about this just for a moment. In Ruth 4 and verse 13, the Bible specifically says the Lord gave her conception. Now, you're not going to find this in chapter number 1, But I do want to mention it to you, and it's such a profound thought. The reality is that in chapter number 1, we're first introduced to Ruth. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. But notice in verse number 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. You ever considered this evening that Ruth was married for 10 years and never had children? No children for 10 years. But do you understand how different the book of Ruth would be if she had a child? There'd be no need for a kid. In fact, there'd be no subject of kinsman redeemer that would even be mentioned or allowed in Ruth's life because she already had a child. You understand that this evening? So for 10 years, she's married, no children. And then the Bible tells us in Ruth chapter number 4 that Boaz fulfills the role of the near kinsman, the kinsman redeemer, and he takes Ruth to be his wife, and it says that he went in unto her and the Lord gave her conception. We must understand this evening that God is the giver of life. There's such a battle in our society today over the subject of life, and I said this last week, and it's worth repeating tonight. We understand the truth that God has given us in His Word with regard to the sanctity of life. And there's so many arguments and discussions and points of battle that take place in our society today. But the reality is we must stand true to the Word of God. I said this last week, life is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. You understand that they sometimes will take biblical issues and try to make them political issues. But the reality is that life is not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. And we must recognize, as we study the book of Ruth, God's given us some great life lessons through this book. See, this evening, God's Word is profitable for us. God's Word is relevant to us. We can read the record of an event that took place 3,000 years ago and learn lessons tonight of important life lessons on how we live today in 2023. People running around, oh, the Bible's outdated and this, that, and the other thing. No, God's Word is relevant, and we study God's Word. Yes, we see the record that God has provided, but what application do we find for our own selves, for our own lives? 10 thoughts tonight from the book of Ruth, as we've studied through this book, of life lessons, lessons from the book of Ruth. Of course, ultimately, again, the greatest truth through the book of Ruth is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. What a great picture that we see in the book of Ruth, and how Boaz did everything that was necessary in order to redeem, if you will, Ruth. And I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, He fulfilled all the law, and He could not just say, well, I love people, and so they're going to go to heaven. No, sin had to be paid for. And I'm so thankful that He was willing to take your place and my place on that cruel cross. We serve a great God. His Word is relevant, and His Word is powerful. His Word is profitable. And this evening, I hope that we can look at these 10 lessons and we can have some takeaways and that God would help us. Lord, thank You for the night. Thank You for the Word that You've given us. We thank You for the truth of Thy Word. And I pray, God, that You would help us tonight to be encouraged, help us to be strengthened. I pray that we'd be challenged, Lord, in our walk with You. I pray, Father, that You would help us to take heed to these lessons that we've learned through the book of Ruth. I pray that we'd apply them in our lives. I pray, God, that You'd bless our time of prayer. We thank You that You're a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank You that You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We pray that You'd move and work now as only You can. And we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.